Thousand Watt News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000 Watt 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 25th of November, Anno Domini 2007, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And it's 7 minutes after the hour. We're going to be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use. I don't seem to be on the network at all. We'll see if this gets me on the network.
Your light's on. Your light's blinking.
Lights are on. But
oh, I see what's happening. All right, I can fix that. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Before we get started, let me start this show by giving a big shout out to all the students at the School of the Arts. Yesterday, I was doing some shopping. This guy comes up to me, starts shaking my hand, thanking me for all the stuff we do on the show and all the good blah blah blah, and it's all great. And then he says, you know, I use sound bites for my kids in school. I make them listen to the show every week, and then they have to come into class with a question about something, you know, a comment and a question, whatever, about something that was on the show. And that's all great. So, and he said, I just want to thank you because it makes my life easier, and you guys have been dispensing this, blah, blah, blah. It was really very sweet of him. And the guy's name is Joe Morton. I said, well, what's your name, Joe Morton? Where do you teach? School of the Arts. I said, pointing to my daughter. I said, then you must know my daughter. He looks and goes, oh, my God. And then so and he said, that's very funny. He said, I never realized you were a School of the Arts. Here's the thing, though. He seems to be the teacher in charge of suspension. So I'm not entirely certain if Soundbites is a punishment or a learning tool. But one way or the other, I want to thank all of Mr. Morton's kids for listening in and all of that stuff.
And it may be a good thing he doesn't know your daughter.
Yeah, exactly. He said that, actually.
Yeah,
he said, I know of her. She always says hello to me in the hall. She's very sweet. But I really have never seen her in any of my classes because I teach the suspension kids. Okay. For those of you who have your resumes on monster.com, you probably already know that it was bumped offline by an attack by the Russian Business Network, which is a bunch of hackers in Russia. There were a slew of companies represented by Monster's Company Boulevard, including Eddie Bauer, GMAC Mortgage, Best Buy, Toyota Financial, and Tri-Counties Bank. Basically, this whole Boulevard thing lets visitors research prospective employer companies, search for job openings and all of that stuff. A spokeswoman said the malicious attack inserted code into pages that could cause vulnerable systems to download a virus. They haven't yet figured out what the exploits do because they're very well encrypted, but Monster has already taken the pages offline. It's not clear how many pages were affected by the attack, but believe me, if you are a Monster.com user and you were visiting any of their sites in the last couple of weeks, it would behoove you to make sure that your antivirus is up to date and to dance the security tango. Also, for those of you who haven't really been paying enough attention, the Soundbite server is back up. It was an interesting confluence of events that caused it to go down, and it was painful and ugly, but the server is now housed elsewhere and is up and running and happily so.
Well, speaking of surfaces down, I want to know if anybody else out there, I live over in Irondequoit on Emperor Boulevard, if their DSL went down, because I went this morning trying to check, you know, my mail and everything else, and like, darn! You figure, you know, trying to do show prep and get ready for some other stuff.
There's your mistake.
Well, there's your
show prep.
I know it.
Well, no, then the wife gave me, going to do some shopping. Well, I'll try to get it back up.
Yeah, right. All right. Horton.
Correction,
Joe Horton.
Correction.
My wife called in. It's Joe Horton, not Joe Morton. I apologize. I am also completely incapable of hearing a dang thing because my ears have been all plugged up. And
Joe Morton's a big character actor.
Yeah, Joe Morton. I know, like Joe Morton. This is Joe Horton. I apologize, Joe. Joe Horton. It's Horton, not Morton. My fault entirely. My lovely wife called in to fix that for me. She is the editor of the Soda News, and she knows dang near everybody.
And straight and
that's what she does. She keeps me working. So it was, it really was an interesting problem with the server. It's a, you know, we couldn't afford to buy a whole server ourselves, so we we went in with some other people to get this, and the consensus was to buy a Dell server. I think that wasn't my choice, nor was it, in retrospect, our best purchase. The RAID control, RAID array is a series of disks that you use as if they were one disk, and the nice thing about it is data, the RAID arrays are magic. They take your data and they spread it across all the disks you have. So three or four or five or however many you have. And therefore it writes faster and it reads faster. And if any one of those drives dies, the system just keeps on going. And if you pull the dead drive and put in a new one, it rebuilds that dead drive for you on the fly without having to take the machine down or, you know, in any way change
seamlessly.
Anything. Seamlessly.
In theory.
In theory. So what we did was we had this Dell machine, and it was in the rack over at Frontier. God love them. They gave us free space for a year. But the PERC controller, the RAID controller, the PERC, I believe is the name of the company. I don't know. Actually has a small problem. When they get too heavy a load on them, they get confused.
Portable environment for real-time control.
Okay, thank you. That's a PERC controller. And the problem is, of course, that was the whole point of the server, was to have a high load. Mm-hmm. So we've moved it out of the Frontier facility. They gave us a facility for a year, and that's over. So we've moved it elsewhere. And we have to figure out what to do about that, because it's really not supposed to be where it is. And we'll figure all that out. We'll deal with it. We'll get things working. See, this is the moral. As I said in the forum, the third moral is never move your sites off Jerry's servers.
I've been there, and you know, any problems or issues, which have been very few in all the years that I've been hosting there. Like, my website's never been an issue. Email a couple times, but again, that wasn't Jerry's fault. That was folks, you know, sitting there. He's trying to do a better job of filtering out a lot of the crap, and that's the only way to put it. It comes through, you know, the Viagra pills and the insurance and yada, yada, yada. Jerry filters out a lot of that junk, so I don't get it. And, you know, I'm appreciative to that, because it's just one less thing I have to deal with. And his folks' services are just making my life a lot easier.
Right.
So once in a blue moon, you know, if I have to be inconvenienced because he's moving it from one to the other, I can live with that.
That's exactly
It's
right.
better than, and like I say, in all the years, I can still count on one hand and still have fingers left over.
Yeah, exactly.
That's impressive. Now, if I had to sit there and say, oh, no, I'm constantly down and this isn't working anywhere, then, yeah, that would be an issue. But not with Jerry. I mean, it's been great.
Yep. We love Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
We love you, Jerry. All right. So that's our story. It was an interesting, hectic, confusing, painful week for me, and I apologize to every week and a half, 2 weeks, whatever it all ended up being. I apologize to everyone who had
they were going through withdraw. Soundbites withdraw.
Yep. Like I said, I apologize to everybody who had that problem. We have, I believe, now completely and correctly fixed that. I believe we're now done with that. I'm just getting into the Soundbites channel on EFNet, EFNET. FNET?
Or you're switching the channel?
Oh, I see. Oh, we have this Gizm0_man who has taken over ops for the thing. I don't particularly appreciate that, but he's done it, and that's fine. If that person would give me operator status, I would appreciate that. I don't know why you took over our channel, but that's fine. That's the way that works, I guess.
He started it before you did.
No, he started it like Tuesday.
Well, that was before you did.
And just seemed to have kept it. Thank you very much for making me an op. I appreciate that. All right, we are now up. So if you want to join in the discussion and people are getting on, we have, thank you very much for making me an operator. We have our system running at FNET, EFNET.
.org.
And if you go to, I believe it's chat.fnet.org.
Well, right on the front page, there's a login section. So you create a username, and then the channel is pound sign soundbites.
Yep. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you.
And then Francis is still around.
Of course Francis is still
around. Well, you know, we were debating whether we were going to get rid of her or not.
Never. We love Francis.
Well, we don't even know who Francis is.
I don't even know who Francis is. She sent me an email like the second week of Soundbites. Berating. I mean, and this is way, you know,
14
way back
years ago.
Yeah, berating me for not telling everybody that Soundbites was with a Y. She'd gone to Soundbites with an I, which used to be some sort of hearing aid company in England.
What?
Yeah, exactly. So she berated me in no uncertain terms that I had.
You loved it.
In some way, gotten her expectations down somehow. I don't quite know what that was about. So I.
That's what you said, and you're sticking to it?
I'm sticking to it. So
is
now.
Is Francis spelled with a Y?
No. Francis is with an I. I was toying with the idea of creating the channel on FNET with a bot named Francis who would control it. But I haven't even gotten anywhere near that far yet, so we won't even go with that. But that's the deal. So we'd like to invite you to join us in that chat. Right now we've got a whole bunch of people in there. We have four people who appear to be operators and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 others in the thing. So we're up to 10. Please join us. It's efnet.org, chat.fnet.org. Join in, put your username and whatever you want in there, and we're on our way. Have we got time for a call? Hello? Well, we'll start the call anyway and see what happens. Our first caller is Ron from Albion, New York. Welcome, Ron. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I got a little bit of a problem with Windows XP. I had a hard drive crash, so I bought another hard drive and put a new one in and reinstalled Windows XP, and now I keep on getting this message on there saying that I'm down to only 3 days to reactivate it.
Right.
What do I do?
You've got to go. Now, what's your service? Do you have dial-up or you DSL, Roadrunner?
I got DSL, but the machine that this is on isn't even on the internet.
You've got to get it back on the internet so you can register it, or you've got to call the phone number, dial the 800 number, and do it manually. To reactivate the system.
And convince them that you did repair your old computer and you're not trying to steal it on another computer.
Yeah, what's happening here is that Microsoft makes an assumption that if enough stuff in the system changes, you've actually tried to steal Windows by putting it on another machine.
But they're really good about it. If you call the 800 number and give them the number on the screen that it regenerates, you should be able to, they'll reactivate it, but you got to do it within the next few days because after 60 days, you're hosed. You're not getting into the machine at all.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Wright, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe at 20 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Okay, I'll take this music now that Thanksgiving is over.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Hey.
Everywhere.
Hey, where are you from? Chicago?
You go.
Apple Town. Thank you. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites. I was chastised during the break because apparently I was doing 8 things at once at the top of the show trying to get my system to run and a couple of other things, and it sounded like I was angry at Gizmo Man for having taken over the channel, and I didn't mean it that way at all. He kept it open all week for people to work on, and I appreciate that. I want to thank him for that. I don't want you to get the idea I was upset at that. I just was confused about doing 8 or 9 or 10 things at once, which I tend to do here. All right, before we get back to the phones, Apple has reintroduced a critical vulnerability in Leopard, the newest version of Mac OS X that is patched more than 20 months ago in Tiger. A bug in Apple Mail, the email client included in Mac OS X, that Apple fixed on March 1, 2006 in Tiger has cropped up in Leopard, according to security researchers for Symantec Corporation and Intego Inc. Attackers, wasn't that a game? No, that was Stratego. Mm-hmm. Attackers can use the new old vulnerability to hide malicious code in seemingly harmless file attachments and get Apple Mail to run the malware without warning the user, as it was actually designed to do. The HISA security website first noted the returned flaw and said attackers could disguise their code as a benign file, for example, a JPEG image, and then exploit the file's resource fork to launch Terminal, the Mac OS X command line interface, which in turn would run camouflaged code. The site even produced a harmless proof-of-concept email attachment that demonstrated an exploit of the bug. On a current installation of the Tiger OS, Apple Mail issues a warning that the supposed image file is an executable program and it is to be opened in Terminal, Heiser reported. Apple apparently either did not incorporate this update into Leopard or did not do it correctly. Intego, the antivirus vendor that earlier this month warned of an in-the-wild Mac Trojan horse, noted that Leopard's security measures fail to notify users, as does Tiger's. The bug causing this has to do with the way Leopard manages download quarantines, Intego said in an alert. The first time a user opens an attachment, Mail opens the file directly without passing it through the quarantine system. Apple patched the vulnerability in Tiger with security update 2006-001, which was released last year. Until Apple fixes Leopard, Symantec told users to use caution when handling email attachments received in Mail. Intego gave a similar advice. It is important that users do not open attachments from unknown senders, especially those that come with spam messages, its alert said. So be very, very careful, those of you using Leopard, or when opening attachments that come in your email. Be very, very careful.
And it's not just attachments from unknown senders. You can get attachments from known senders that they might be infected and causing a problem.
Right, right.
There's also a change in Leopard's security for downloading files off the internet. It used to, in Safari, warn you that you were downloading an application when you downloaded it. Now it only warns you when you open that application. Apparently, people were just saying, well, yeah, I'm downloading an application and clicking OK, 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 because they knew they were downloading something.
Right, right,
now,
right, right.
Now it doesn't warn you to actually try to run that application.
Oh,
but then it's kind of neat. It tells you where you downloaded it from and when you downloaded it, which is,
is
kind of
nice.
Neat. Too.
That
yeah.
is nice. All right, our next caller is Mike from Walworth, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
I have a question about Microsoft Word and Excel. I'm having problems saving because of the kind of work I do. I work from home a lot and need to save files at different locations. So whenever I try to save, I hit the Save As icon, and the Save As dialog box comes up. And then I click Save In, that little open box at the top where you
right.
can has a pull down. When I do that, it takes about 45 seconds for that to fill down and tell me where I can save things. Now, I can go to the icons on the left and select there, and it works fine. But
are some of these sites over the internet somewhere?
Yes.
That's why.
Yeah.
The problem is the list of sites on the left there is permanent. The pull-down list of sites is built on the fly every time. I don't know why. But consequently, it will always take that long for the pull-down menu because it's building it on the fly like that.
Okay, that settles it. Thanks a lot.
Sure, sorry.
Well, I mean, it makes sense because it's checking all the connections, especially, you know, if he's mapping to a drive letter that's not available, that's where it goes out and verifies, say, you're on a corporate network,
and
you've got six servers you're saving to. And if all the mapped drive letters aren't available, it's going to let you know. That's why it takes a few minutes to go out there and verify that those are all available. Otherwise, it comes back and says, some drive letters might not be available.
And when you pick that drive in your pull-down save to location, it wants to display all the folders on that drive so you can pick a folder.
Right.
So it has to load the remote drive to show you those folders.
Yeah. Right, exactly. All right, our next caller is Dave from Greece, New York. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Taking my call.
Sure.
This is probably a lost cause, but I thought I'd run it past you. My computer partially survived a couple of brownouts, and now I can't get into BIOS. When you boot it up, you've got a blank screen. There's no video signal until the Windows welcome screen.
What type of computer is it? Is it a Dell, HP, what?
That's just one I put together.
All right, so most likely it's a delete key?
Yes.
So you keep hitting the delete key, and nothing comes up?
Right.
Do you have the booklet? Because some of them are also, you know, it used to be always the delete key.
Yeah,
sometimes now it gets into the F2 or F1 or F10.
You just said it is the delete key. He's done it before.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. And I also lost it. Won't read my slave hard drive. I figured I could go into the BIOS and figure out where it was.
Dave, you know what? What I would say?
Yeah.
Friday,
it's the perfect time. Right now, you know, it's Christmas. And what better gift to give to yourself?
Than a new motherboard.
Oh, and maybe, you know, a bigger chip.
More
memory.
I'll bring it up when I hang up.
There you go. That's what we like to hear.
And a UPS.
And a UPS. Get yourself a UPS. Thanks, Dave. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 31 minutes after the hour, Soundbites 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 34 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites.
Does anybody else know if DSL is...
If anybody is on...
In Irondequoit.
It was in Irondequoit.
Well, listen, you know, Midtown is being torn down, so they've started. You know what I'm saying? They started with the internet connection.
No, it's
well, no,
home,
I just said I'm
going
to catch hell because the wife wanted to do some Christmas shopping ahead of the famous Cyber Monday.
When is Cyber Monday?
Tomorrow.
Yeah, they come out with, you know, Black Friday. So they turn around and coin Monday as Cyber Monday.
Tomorrow is the day that everybody goes to work and then gets online and shops. And the servers are under very heavy load.
Because everybody wants to do their shopping and, you know, checking to buy their presents.
You know, speaking of Christmas, did you guys hear that they're trying to do away with Santa Claus saying ho, ho, ho?
Yeah, several cities have banned.
That's the stupidest thing.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, afraid women are going to be offended.
There comes a point where being politically correct becomes abysmally stupid.
No, there comes a point when people have way too much time on their hands to figure out something that Santa Claus, of all things, would be offensive. I mean, come on.
See, the Hookers Union complained.
Huh?
The Hookers Union complained.
Anybody offended by that should not be sitting on Santa's lap.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Anybody offended by that, really? I think of that as a litmus test. If you are offended by ho, 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 you are not somebody I care to have any further conversation with ever. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, it's just like, and I mean, people can get porked off at me, too. But I sit there and I'll still say, have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Can't do that anymore.
Right. I will.
Well,
you know what?
Right.
I don't care.
Right.
They don't like it? Tough beans. Last I knew, this was a free country.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, this bull crap of one person having an issue with it, and then everybody else has to change just because of one person is
Did
right.
Uncle
and
Dave
that's
wake
my
up
views.
Early?
Uncle Dave's about to do for a nap.
Yeah.
No, I'm just getting wound up because, I can't wait. Oh, you got
to
give us.
Oh, here we go.
You
have to know
give
you're
me
talking
some extra
to.
Time.
You got, you know, happy Christmas.
For the rent.
And happy Hanukkah.
Oh, yeah, I've been saving this. I was good. I didn't blow up at the weekend
Best
with the family.
All right, we're waiting. Now, you got to remember, you got your hand on the dump button, right?
Yes, I do.
Good. That's important. Excellent. All right. Before we get back to the phones, let me talk about an expert who has released a proof of concept program to show how easy it would be for criminals to eavesdrop on the VoIP-based phone calls of any company using this technology, voice over IP, where you get to make phone calls over the internet, Skype, and all of those other things.
Mm-hmm.
It's called SipTap, and it monitors multiple voice over IP call streams, listens in, records them, and saves them as WAV files so you can just play them back later. For years, I've been using a product called Vomit to do that. Voice over misconfigured internet telephones.
That's too much.
And it does just exactly that. You sit somewhere where there's open wireless, and you just listen in, and it automatically pulls down every VoIP packet and reassembles it into a conversation. And you can then listen to that conversation if you want to. So I would be very careful if I were you using any voice over IP product. That is out there, and you should be very, very careful.
That's something we talked about in, the 80s when portable phones started becoming common?
Yep.
You know, I had scanners, and I loved listening to conversations on portable phones. I remember one time I heard this guy calling his wife saying he's going to be home late, and then he called his girlfriend and saying he's on his way over.
Yep. I've heard that on my car radio. I don't know what about the skip or the atmosphere or whatever, but I'm hearing, all of a sudden I'm hearing cell phone conversations. It was very weird. I have no idea how or why. Only at one spot it was for about 2 months as I drove home from work. If I stopped at a certain light, I got cell phone conversations.
You know, back in the day when I used to actually work at an electronics store, people used to come in and buy 800 megahertz scanners to pick up the old analog cell phones.
Yep.
And where the store was that I worked was right in front of a cell tower. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, sometimes if we got some of these people in the conversations, I mean, nothing is private, even now with digital phones.
Yep.
You know, it's just like when you drive by a car and somebody's using one of those iPod radio broadcast things, you can pick up their music.
Yep.
Next to you. It's just like, you know, nothing's probably, I just always thought that was, people used to come in with the sole purpose of saying, I want a scanner to be able to pick up cell phones.
Yeah.
And cell we used phones. To say, get out.
Cell phones are not phones. They are radios.
That's exactly right. And you have to be aware that it's a radio and you're doing radio things with it. All right. We got time for a call? Do we? How good for us? Our next caller is Paul in Marion, New York. Welcome, Paul. What's your question?
Hi. I'm going to say ho, ho, ho first.
There we go. That's what I like to hear, Paul.
All right. I have a computer that when I reboot the computer, it comes up and it says, what do you call it? An IE window comes up. And it won't let me get past that screen. It locks up there. What happens is it's an IE set security setup update screen. What I did is I rebooted the computer one time.
Yeah.
And I mean, did the, what do you call it, the update?
Yep.
And ever since then, I got this screen that comes up and it won't go past it. But it doesn't have a .com on it, nothing. It ends in update and then a slash.
And it's at Microsoft.com/update?
Yeah.
Did it install IE7?
It was the latest one. It was about 2 months ago.
Yep.
I did it.
You might want to roll back to IE6, uninstall IE7.
Yeah.
Which you may have to do in safe mode if you can't get past this message in normal mode.
Right. Well, but for uninstalling, you go to add remove programs and remove IE7 from your system. That will bring back IE6 and maybe just what you need to solve this problem. Give that a try. Let us know. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 40 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And in 45 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. Hey, if you're a Leopard user, a lot of Mac users are complaining that after installing Leopard on their laptops, they've got lower battery life. Lower life with Leopard laptop.
Nice alliteration.
Thank you. Information Week is citing, so far they're just anecdotal complaints from users who believe that the battery drain is much faster since they made the move to the new OS. These claims aren't being made in isolation. Dozens exist. By now, it's many more than dozens within Apple's Leopard support forum. Some claim battery life has shrunk by a third, leading to speculation that Leopard's graphic interface may be the culprit. However, one user claimed to get past the problem by completely draining and then recharging his Mac battery twice. So if you're running Leopard on your Mac, you need to be very careful of that. All right. Our next caller is Norma from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Norma. What's your question?
This started a week ago. If I try to forward a graphic, a joke or a picture or anything, when I hit the forward button, the graphic is on there and I send it to whoever and hit send. And then the graphic is gone. I go to my send item, and the thing is there with just a blank spot with a little red X in the thing. And the people that I sent it to didn't get the picture either. And that happened about a week ago, and I had called for support. And this guy from India, I guess, he talked to me for 2 hours. He said I had a corrupted ID, made me change all my ID over, and put everything, and one item worked after 2 hours. And so I thought it was fixed. The next day, same thing. And I haven't been able to send it. So I get anything now, I forward it to myself just for the heck of it. The picture's on there. As soon as I hit send, it's not on there.
What are you using for email?
I know you guys hate this Outlook Express.
That's part of your problem right there.
Yeah, there are security precautions built into Outlook Express to prevent transfer of files, because that's how viruses transfer. you may have to dig around inside Outlook Express and turn off those security features.
How do I do that?
Somewhere in tools. I think we actually have a link on our fact list.
I mean, it was working forever okay until last week. And then when that guy had me do everything and it's just all...
Have you done an update to Windows lately? That could have come in with that.
An update to Windows.
Often they happen automatically themselves, so it may have happened behind your back.
Yeah, I was going to say, the only thing I've done, I was on high speed, and I've got, I got the new offer from Frontier, and I just upgraded to high speed again, but this happened before that.
Right. I suspect that that's what your problem is, and you should definitely change that. Steve's looking for a link. If he can't find one, he'll put one there on our link list. If you go to Soundbites.
There it is. On November 5th, 2002, we talked about this problem.
Yeah, it's been there for a while.
So disabling attachments in Outlook Express, it tells you how to turn them on and turn them off.
Okay. There you go.
And it's on your link.
It's on our link. If you go to our website at soundbites.org, click on the links tab, and then the list of sites mentioned weekly on the show, and then go all the way down to what?
November 5th, 2002.
Search for attachments.
Search for attachments.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. At 49 minutes after the hour, we continue to be Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 52 minutes after the hour, believe me, if you're not on the Soundbites chat, you're missing some of the... Well, you're missing something. I'm not sure exactly what it is. All right, kiddies, it's that time once again. Go put on your asbestos jammies, grab a shot of Jack Daniels, and hide behind your shields because, I don't think we're going to have to slap them awake this week. It's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave.
Oh, no.
Going to back away slowly.
You know,
get your hand on that dump button.
No. He won't.
He's ready.
No, I'm primed. But you know what? It just irks me, and I'm sure Steve runs into this too. You know, it was the holiday weekend. You know, it was a short week for us. So we had folks bringing in systems, and of course, the college kids are coming home. They need it, yesterday, because it's all screwed up.
We had one, but at least they brought it in on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
I'm expecting some to come in today. Can you finish it?
Yeah, right.
What ticks me off is they get these laptops. Now, supposedly, it's their baby. Everything is very important on it. You know, it's vital and everything else. You ask them one question.
Do you have backups?
Bingo! No. And this one particular computer, there's no other way to put it. They're slobs. When you sit there and eat, don't eat over your computer. We're sitting there trying to use this cleaner to get jelly out in between the keys. And they're wondering why the heck the keys are sticking. Well, no shirt, Sherlock.
Is this a laptop or a desktop?
This was a laptop.
Oh, okay.
But it's their baby. You look at the side, there's two USB ports.
Mm-hmm.
One is broken.
Mm-hmm.
How the hockey sticks do you break a USB port?
Well, now, see, that's the irony of a USB. You plug in your USB cable, it doesn't fit. So you turn it around, it doesn't fit. You turn it around the third way, and it fits.
It fits, exactly.
But I think they turned it around with it in it, and you can't do that.
I know how it happens.
The thing of it is these folks sit there and complain that, you know, this is their pride and joy.
Right.
One, they don't back up. They mistreat them. They shouldn't be allowed to even touch a keyboard because they're in such rough shape with all the crud. And I want to get, I'm thinking of seriously getting... rubber gloves?
Sure.
I'll give you some. When Shirley worked at the medical office, I had her bring home a box of latex gloves.
Well, I think because some of them, I wonder, you know, what science project is growing on it.
Yeah, right.
Because they are in such rough shape, but it's so vital. They, you know, they depend on doing
it's
all
well
the work
traveled.
On it. And, you know, they got to have it back, yesterday, like I'm saying.
Right.
But they don't take care of it.
Right.
And I just don't understand that. Nowadays, you know, and then they get upset if you tell them that it's going to cost this and that. What? It's more than I paid for.
We get paid by the hour.
Yeah, right.
You know, if you took better care of it.
Q-tips and alcohol take a long time to clean out a keyboard.
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten laptops that, you know, I mean, are literally good.
It's worse on a laptop. If it was a desktop keyboard, you buy a new one for 20 bucks.
Well, you can hook a desktop keyboard into a laptop, and you should if you're going to eat in front of it.
Well, we carry a little rubber protector guards now, spill guards that you can put on your keyboard, so in case you do so. And then I always have soda bottles with screw-on lids, so I can screw it back on.
That's right. That's exactly right.
But when they sit there... And I mean, like I say, they're sitting there trying to unstick keys because we're literally pulling out jelly. It was either raspberry or strawberry jelly, I can tell you, because it was red.
Only one man would dare give me the raspberries. Lone Star.
Exactly. All right, today's top tech tip, do not insert USB drives with a hammer.
And that's the other thing. How do you screw up a USB port?
Chris knows.
It happens when people use their laptops on the sofa, on a cushion, or on a bed.
Yep.
They'll stick the thumb drive in the side in the USB port, and everything is fine for a while until they move, and then they put all the stress on that connector.
Yep. This is the voice of experience.
And PC cards, especially like a Wi-Fi PC card that sticks out the side for the antenna. I don't know how many of those I've seen snapped off.
Or they also wind up breaking off the power connector. And people really
get ignoring, apparently.
I'm going to totally dump them. Until they totally ignore the fact that you've got to break down a whole laptop, which I could get into another whole subject. You got to literally break down a laptop to the day it was born to get it fixed.
That's it. Ultimate control in the other room. You can pot the
day down. No, I told you it was going to be a bad one.
Yeah. It's time for us
to boil over to next week.
It's time for us to give.
It's going
to
be back next
it's
week.
It's time for us to give Dave his percussive anesthesia. And we'll be back.
I'll be back
next week. You may now officially remove your asbestos jammies and put down the Jack Daniels. We'll be back with Uncle Dave next week. Hopefully by then we'll get new blood pressure medicine for him and life will be better.
Can I come back
Holy
in now?
Cow.
Nope.
Yeah, you can come back
run
in
and
now.
Hide.
All righty. Okay. All right. We're good. Thank you very much. Wow. We haven't seen Dave quite that worked up since the early 60s.
I don't remember.
Yeah, of course you don't because you weren't there. All right. I don't even know if we have time for anything else at the moment. Apparently, we don't. We've got 1 minute to close.
See, I still had time, and he was cutting me off.
All righty. Apparently, the anesthetic is no longer quite enough. We're going to take a quick break while we tie Dave to a chair somewhere. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with at least Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Chris Wright, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. Please join us in the forums at chat.efnet.org, fnet.org, and let us know what you think of Uncle Dave's rant this week. I'm Nick Francesco at 59 minutes after the hour. You are listening to the greatest, to the somethingest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. We'll be back on the other side of the news, weather, sports, all the stuff you really listen to Wham for at 1180 WHAM.
Chicken.
Never show that again.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And it's 6 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbite.
So the folks want me to do Rumble?
I agree with the people in the chat room who are saying that Archandra specifically is saying maybe what Dave needs to do is start making his Rumballs, his Christmas Rumballs early.
I was just thinking about that.
You don't have to make them just once, you know.
Oh, I know.
I have never gotten smashed off baked goods like I do when Dave brings in the rum balls.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
I mean, by 1 o'clock, I'm shot.
How do you get 4 shots of rum in every rum ball? I have no idea.
Hey,
I have no idea.
That's the secret.
All right. This week's, last week, of course, we didn't actually have a poll because
we
didn't have a website. But now we have a poll. This week's poll is based on an interesting story right now. Microsoft Corporation's biggest worry over Vista shouldn't be rival operating systems for Apple or Red Hat, but remains competition from its own Windows XP. According to Benjamin Gray, an analyst at Forrester Research, The big story isn't that 32% of the companies we surveyed said that they would start Vista deployments by the end of the year. It's that companies have been hugely successful in standardizing on Windows XP. According to a survey of nearly 600 U.S. and European companies that have more than 1,000 employees, 84% of all their PCs now run Windows XP, up from 67% the year before. While XP may have peaked, Gray warned not to bet against the six-year-old operating system. Vista's biggest competition isn't Apple or Novell or Red Hat. It's Microsoft itself. It's XP, Gray said. So enamored of XP are businesses that Microsoft may feel obligated to extend the operating system's mainstream support past its current April 2009 expiration date. I wouldn't be surprised, Gray said, although it might require some additional pressure on the company by its largest customers. So that's our question of the week, our poll of the week, is very simply, what is Vista's biggest problem? And the choices are price, application compatibility, XP, the Mac, and the Linux. So far, we have a whopping 94 votes on the poll, and the number one choice so far is application compatibility, followed by XP, followed by the Linux, followed by the Mac, followed by price. And once you're done voting, I know you people, you're all like Dave, you can't just click a button, you've got to rant. So after you're done clicking your button, if you click on the in the little yellow box underneath, you will see give us your opinion. Click on that and it will take you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com. Thank you.
And you will be able to put in your opinion up to 255 characters, because I don't want people writing all of War and Peace in there. And of course, the question is, what would it take to convince you to move with move to Vista? Some people have actually answered the question. Others have not. But that's okay. Go ahead and put in wherever you want. If it's too off the track, I'll delete it. And please take a look around. I run this website where three times a week, I put mostly three times a week. I actually managed it this week with Thanksgiving. I didn't manage it last week. Hello. I put out a newsletter. We have people in the forums. We've got a guy in our forums called Iron Wire. I talked about one time, I got to tell you this. I talked one time about how there's a video out on the internet of a guy who repairs a CD with a banana. He cuts the banana, rubs it on there, and then uses the peel to polish it, and it works. So he took about 25 CDs, built a little machine that actually scratches all of them identically. He burned 25 CDs, checked that they were all good, scratched them all identically, checked that they didn't work, and then used multiple different, complete scientific method, multiple different products on it to see which one would actually work. And Turtle Wax seemed to be the number one so far, but he's working on that. He's also buying himself one of those Kindles from Amazon. I so want one of these. Anybody out there who's looking to buy me a Christmas present, the Kindle from Amazon, it's only, what, $400 or $600 or whatever, $400. It's an ebook reader. It looks ugly, ugly as sin, as a matter of fact, but it is gorgeous. It is gorgeous. And I'm hoping at least to at some point be able to afford one. I will be linking the correct FNET chat site to the front page of Soundbites. That's just one of the ones that got away from me this week. So look around at my website at asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
Very good. Very good. I almost caught him with the donut in his mouth, but he was there for me. Love to see that.
A highly trained professional.
A highly trained professional. And then come on back to Soundbites and check us out in the forums there, because we've got some terrific people. All right. Back to the phones. I've got time. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Rich from Geneva, New York. Welcome, Rich. What's your question?
Good morning. I have a brand new XPS, and I've worked out a lot of the bugs. One thing I can't figure out is about every 5 minutes, it tries to read the A drive.
What operating system are you running?
XP.
If you're lucky, it's your antivirus program, making sure there's no viruses on the A drive. If you're not lucky, it's a virus trying to load itself onto the A drive.
Or a Trojan, yeah.
Yeah. So the first thing you want to do is check your antivirus program. Make sure that it's not looking to the A drive. There's usually a screen somewhere in every antivirus program that tells it which drives to check. Make sure it's not checking the A drive. The next thing to do is the same thing with the indexer inside Windows. Make sure that that isn't doing it. And then the third thing is dance the security tango to make sure that you don't actually have a virus at this moment.
Okay. I know I don't have a virus. I ran a scan.
Excellent.
Okay.
Well, did you dance the security tango or just run a scan?
I ran a full system.
That's what I like to hear. Yep. All right. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Yep-er.
Bye.
Our next caller is Chris from Gates, New York. Welcome, Chris. What's your question?
Thanks. I love the show, guys.
Thank you.
I have an iTouch, which uses Safari for Wi-Fi. Is there a way to listen to WHAM streaming? The station uses IE.
The station doesn't use any browser, one or the other. What it does use is Windows Media Player to stream media. And I don't know if the iPod has a Windows Media Player client in it. The best Windows Media Player client for the Mac is surprisingly not from Microsoft. And in fact, Microsoft stopped making the Windows Media Player for Mac and points you to this other company called Flip for Mac, Word Flip number 4, Word Mac. And they have Windows Media components for QuickTime. And that works great on desktop computers running Safari. I don't know if it runs on the iPhone offhand or not.
Okay. And another question I have is there an easy way to put DVDs that I own onto the iTouch?
Depends on how you define easy.
Yeah.
Any media that you have in iTunes will automatically sync into the iPod. So if you buy TV shows and if you buy music videos and whatnot through the iTunes store, they're automatically in there.
Yes, I've done that, but I have my own DVDs.
Right, your own DVDs you need to rip into the computer, and the most common program to do that with is called Handbrake. And there's two or three different versions. The full Handbrake can convert into hundreds of different video formats, and then Instant Handbrake just converts it for the iPod. So if you're looking to convert straight for the iPod, then Instant Handbrake is probably the easiest one. If you're actually trying to rip higher quality video to display on your computer or on a big screen TV, then the full Handbrake gives you more options for different compression and better quality.
Thanks a lot.
Yep, Handbrake has an odd URL because it's one of those programs where it's often used for illegal purposes to rip commercial DVDs. There is nothing illegal about ripping your own DVDs that you've made, but you cannot legally rip commercial DVDs. So if you Google Handbrake, you'll come up with the current URL for them. They have to change every now and then. It's currently handbrake.m0k.org. It's been that way for a while, so whoever M0K is, they're keeping them up.
All righty. Thank you very much. That would be nice to be able to stream Wham. Of course, if they're strictly Windows Media.
Yeah, that's one of the big issues with the iPod Touch and the iPhone now is there's no Flash player for it. I don't know about a Windows Media player.
Right.
There's a QuickTime player.
Of course there is.
Yeah.
There's a shock.
Yeah.
And QuickTime won't play Windows Media files?
It will if you add the Flip for Mac codecs. It's the different codecs.
And can you do that to...
I haven't tried it on the iPod yet, but it does work fine on regular desktop Macs.
Okay. Good to know. Our next caller is Marcy from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Marcy. What's your question?
Boy, do I have a good one for you. You'll like this one. Hey, we may all scratch our heads. Okay. I have an A drive. I actually use it. I have a camera which uses disks. I recently had to get a whole new computer, and they put my old floppy from my old computer into my new computer. Mm-hmm. So far, everything's running fine. First time I stuck it into, it took some pictures off the disk, put them on my computer. The moment I went back to the floppy, and this happens every single time. It just happened while I was on hold, too. Now it said, now it will no longer read the disk once I've taken stuff off. And it says, do you want to format it? If I say yes, you cannot format it.
Yeah, the floppy drive is shot, and you need to just get a new floppy.
How can it go be so bad? It was working right up until 7 days ago.
Here's the issue.
Right,
everything works until it doesn't.
Well,
unfortunately.
Yeah, but see, the problem is it's not the floppy drives that have gotten cheaper. Well, they have gotten cheaper, but the material floppies are made from.
These are old floppies, and this is an old drive.
Yeah, well, that's the problem.
That
they're old.
That compounds the problem. They're old, and they could be dirty. They could be misaligned.
And they build up. You know, those needles can read so many floppies, and because the material in making floppies has gotten so cheap, it wears more on the needles that are trying to read the floppies. So that's why floppy drives don't last as long as they used to, because of the material that they have to read has gotten so cheap, and folks don't use it
anymore. And so many computers don't come with floppy drives anymore, because a 1 megabyte disk is virtually worthless.
Yeah. But yeah, you can get another floppy drive for like $15.
Okay, because I just don't understand why it will read anything that has not had everything removed. It will read anything that hasn't had the stuff removed by this drive.
Well, it could be the reading is working, but the writing's not. And so when it tries to write something back to the drive,
have you
like
tried
changing
using a new
date,
floppy and just try moving some, say, pictures to it?
Yeah, I moved a document to the disk, and I was reading the disk just fine. It was saying, nothing's here, it's okay. And I put something on there, it's reading it fine. I take it off, dead disk.
Wow.
I'm wondering if it's in the camera.
I mean, this is
no, it won't read it in the fly. It won't read it in the hard drive and the computer either, right?
I'm sorry?
It won't read it in the computer either.
Oh, no. It won't read it on the camera now, and it won't read it in the computer. Up until the moment I take everything off that disk is fine. The computer reads it. My camera reads it. The moment my computer removes it from the disk is...
Well, I got to tell you, Marcy, what it sounds like to me is there's really... For that read-write head, which is, of course, we know not really a needle. It's actually a magnet, but it looks like one if you were to look at it. That read-write head has two circuits in it, a read circuit and a write circuit. It sounds like the write circuit has gone bad. And so replacing the drive, which is what, $15, is probably...
You can't find one anymore.
Well, right. It's probably your easiest and fastest bet at this point. Just get a whole new drive and you should be good to go. We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, and me. I'm Nick Francesco. 19 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. Microsoft, by the way, is quietly readying a new XP update just days after they delivered a release candidate preview for Windows Vista Service Pack 1. They've quietly issued a similar milestone for Windows XP Service Pack 3 to about 15,000 testers. The Service Pack, the last major update to the six-year-old operating system, is slated for release sometime in the first half of 2008. Microsoft has not been more specific than that six-month stretch, and Tuesday, they even took time to remind everyone that the half-year window is not a lock. We are targeting the first half of 2008 for the release of XP SP3, Service Pack 3, to manufacturing, though our timing will always be based on customer feedback as a first priority. As with Vista SP1, Microsoft will at some point offer XP SP3 beta to anyone who wants it. That timetable, however, is just as iffy as the final release, with availability set only as a later date. Microsoft has said very little about what will actually be in Windows XP Service Pack 3, and in general has been reluctant to even mention the update as it publicizes the progress of Vista Service Pack 1 in company blogs and regular communications with the press. Analysts have speculated that Microsoft, which has already made several XP-related concessions, including extending support for the aged OS and pushing the end of retail and OEM sales out 5 more months, wants to downplay Service Pack 3 to make sure it doesn't steal any more thunder from Windows Vista. According to accounts published last month, Service Pack 3 for XP will feature more than 1,000 hot fixes and patches that have been issued in the last 3 years, as well as at least 4 new features, some of which will be ports of Vista tools. So the last time we had an update, Service Pack 2, was in August of 2004. So it's pretty much time. All right. And now we would probably like to go back to the phones. There we go. Our next, what?
No one was supposed to be using XP anymore, so they didn't need to bother writing an update.
Yeah, as it turns out, as we said earlier, like 84% of everybody still uses XP.
Yeah, and still will.
Our next caller is Ed from Rochester. Welcome, Ed. What's your question?
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Always a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you.
Talked with you in the past. I'm one of these diehard individuals who still runs ME and Windows 2000. And my advice to many of your listeners, if they're having trouble getting those codes for XP and are fed up with Vista, just find yourself an old Windows 2000 disk, and you can load it a zillion times, and it's perfect for business. You can do whatever you want with it. And if it catches on fire, you can just buy another computer and load the disk in and never have to talk to Microsoft. But my question has to do with wireless. My granddaughter's got one of these little PSP toys, and she wants to try and download files from her laptop to it using the wireless connection. It's the 3C card and 802.11g or whatever. Sure. And supposedly you can do this in an ad hoc mode, but we've been unable to do it. I mean, we can hook it up with the USB cable. That works fine, obviously, but this wireless mode, we can't seem to establish a connection between the two devices. And I wonder what your thoughts might be on this.
Because you'd have to set up the router to go into.
No, are you talking about between the laptop and the PSP?
Yes, from all the technicians I've spoke to around the different stores that sell these things, they're saying that supposedly in the ad hoc mode, not the infrastructure mode, where you have to go through a router,
right.
Supposedly you can talk directly from the
right.
laptop to...
Your laptop has to create an ad hoc wireless network
right.
first.
Mm-hmm.
Then the PSP should be able to talk to it.
Right.
Then you need to turn on file sharing so that the two... devices can share files.
File sharing. Maybe that's what we're missing.
Yeah, once you connect to the network, you have to decide what you want to do on the network, and share files is the most common thing.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I'm quite impressed with some of these little devices. They're the cutest thing for playing videos and, you know, storing
yep.
files and whatnot.
Yep.
Well,
yeah, most of the time, the wireless connections are designed to play games
mm-hmm.
wirelessly between
yeah.
PSPs or to access
or to
the
online.
Internet. Yeah.
Get on internet play.
Well, she was just looking for a little quicker way to do it without hooking the cables and stuff up. So
well, wireless will be a lot slower than the cable. Wireless is only 54 megabit, and USB 2 is 400 megabit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I you know, it's funny. Here's another little thing. When I go to the, I don't have internet at home. I use the library all the time, and when I take the wireless laptop to the library, I find that I can download much faster files than I can using their wired computers that are in the library. It's amazing. It downloads like about three times as fast.
Well, that has to do with several different things, including the speed of the machine at the other end.
Oh, okay. Well, the laptop's an old, it's only an old, I think it's a T22 ThinkPad, an old 900 megahertz unit. I don't know what
well,
the
and also
is.
There's the fact that the wireless, if you're running at 54 megabits per second, the wired connection to Ethernet is only 10 megabits.
Ah, yeah, okay.
But
your
USB,
internet service is
yeah.
only 2 or 3
Yeah, that
megabit.
Shouldn't really be much of a difference.
Yeah.
But in terms of connecting through USB, USB is much faster than wireless.
I hit you with one last question.
Very quickly.
I know there's a lot of user groups around. Are there any user groups for the older software guys like myself who are looking for the Windows 2000 software and older, you know, pre-XP, pre-Vista stuff? Is there anything locally that you know of?
Well, the general computer clubs will have old timers.
Yeah, well, they usually have user groups
yeah.
within the computer club.
A special interest group.
Yeah,
sometimes
special interest groups that were into, you know, word processing and games and everything else.
Any local groups you'd recommend?
Try the PC user group.
Okay. Thank you very much,
Colin.
All right. Thank you. Our next caller is Bob from Pennsylvania. Welcome,
yes,
Bob.
All the way down here below the border into Pennsylvania. I was calling about the woman who has the floppy drive camera. She might want to try using the camera to reformat the disks, because then that might clear things up. Now, she may have a problem with the computer, but I'll bet she can restore those floppy disks if she just has the camera reformat them.
And it may be a difference between the way the camera's floppy drive works and the computer's floppy drive. If they're slightly out of alignment from each other, that can be an issue,
right.
too.
Yep. That's an excellent suggestion,
yeah.
Bob.
Now, Sony, most of the floppy cameras were from Sony, and Sony had this weird little device that looked like a floppy disk, but it had an SD card slot in it.
Oh,
so your computer thought it was a floppy drive, but you could store a lot more than 1 megabyte of information.
Right,
on
but
it.
I have an old Mavica that actually
yeah.
is a floppy drive.
Yeah, I do too.
Floppy,
yeah. So. But yeah, so you can get this SD floppy adapter, and
right.
then your computer or the camera thinks it can store
right.
more files on it.
But that's a great idea, Bob. Thank you very much. Marcy, I'm sure you're still listening, because who wouldn't be?
Yeah,
And I appreciate, this is my favorite part of the show, when the users call up. And
especially from Pennsylvania.
All the way from Pennsylvania, Bob. Thank you. Interstate traffic. I don't know if that's illegal here, but it's probably something to do with the Mann Act, I'm sure. No, wait, that was something else entirely. Our next caller is Colleen from Perry, New York. Welcome, Colleen. What's your question?
Hi. I'm having a problem. I can't do the Tangle because I can't get Stinger or CW Shredder to update. I'll get, the most I've gotten is 79% of the Stinger file, and it quits. And it's varied anywhere from 20% to 79%. I've tried it several times.
Well, have you checked on the Stinger, whether it's a different date? They don't update that program as, you know, weekly. It's only whenever they need to.
But I haven't been able to. I think they released a new version in September, and I haven't been able to update it since, you know, I haven't been able to get that one.
Well, and this is during the download?
Pardon me?
This is during the download?
Yeah, the download will quit.
Are you on dial-up?
Yes.
Well, Stinger's a pretty small program. It doesn't have an updater in it, though. You have to download a whole new version.
Right. I know that. But I've tried that several times. You know, I've gone to the site and tried to...
Is there a friend you could go over to and that's got high speed?
No, I don't know anybody in the area that has high speed.
Mm. Or just another dial-up, so a different computer to test on. Mm. It's possible. There are several viruses that intentionally work around Stinger. Stinger's purpose is to find viruses that work around Norton antivirus and McAfee virus. But there are a few that targeted Stinger as well. You may happen to have one of those, and it's preventing you from getting Stinger.
But the thing of it is, though, and I still contend, if her antivirus software is up to date, you don't need Stinger. Because all Stinger does is check for, like, 40 viruses that are already in your updated antivirus. So if your antivirus is literally up to date, no more than a week old, it's doing...
That's assuming that she hasn't got one of the viruses that's made it look like it's updating, but it isn't.
Yep. There's... No.
I'm sorry, that's just...
I haven't found it,
though. Yeah, better safe than sorry. But, yeah, can you download other programs?
But I couldn't get CW Shredder either. That update, that will not update anymore either.
Again, I don't think that's been updated.
Well, yeah, and that doesn't have an updater. Just like with Stinger, you have to download a whole program.
Right.
And I don't think there's been a newer update for that. I think it's... I haven't checked the dates on those.
Yeah, I was wondering if I should be concerned about it or not. I do use McAfee for the antivirus program.
Mm-hmm. And that's up to date?
I believe so.
Well, you got to go into McAfee, and if you go into the scan, and then there's a status, it will tell you the date of your DAT file.
Right. I have updated it. I'm just, you know, like I think it was Nick was saying, I'm not sure if I'm getting a false read here, and I was wondering if I had anything to
be honest with you, and I mean, I do this on a daily basis. I haven't seen any of them out there right now, especially viruses. Viruses are getting so low on the list of the folks creating them, it's almost becoming non-existent.
Well,
because what most of them want that I'm seeing are folks getting Trojans and spyware.
Yeah, it's phishing Trojans trying to steal your identity.
That is where the money is. I mean, these folks that we used to talk about week after week after week after week about coming out, oh, you got to update your antivirus program because this new virus is out. You haven't heard us say anything about the latest and greatest virus out there because they just aren't writing them anymore like they used to. Yeah, they're looking at ways to get your identity, steal information, and get personal stuff that you wouldn't normally give out.
Well, what about
CW Shredder's last update was November 2005 because it specifically looks for the cool web search spyware.
Right, that's the one that everybody else has trouble with.
Yeah.
What about that Super Wonder Twins Power Grayskull?
Super anti-spyware.
Yeah.
That's a great one to try, download, and use. It almost does as good, if not a little bit better, than Adaware and SpyBot. I found that if I run that and do the updates, and still run Adaware and SpyBot, it might find one or two, but not as many as, you know, running those separate programs. So I'm kind of leaning towards that one. It's been very good. But again, going back to the issue of Security Tangle, try running that Super Anti-Spyware, and I don't think...
Well, it's going back to her bigger problem. She's if trying to download a file, something aborts the download, she's got a problem in
her computer
somewhere.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If she goes ahead and tries the Super Anti-Spyware, runs that, and then goes back and tries getting the Stinger and the CW Shredder. Well, CW Shredder, like you said, hasn't been updated since 2005, so there's no update there. She's running the...
Well, it only does the one thing.
Yeah. So try doing that, Colleen, is get the Super Anti-Spyware,
download that, run that, and then go back and try to get the Stinger. Okay?
All right. Our next caller, Steve from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Hello. Somebody called earlier about some wondering why every time he tried to start up his computer, it would go to drive A.
Yep.
Right.
Now, this might be a suggestion. This might not be the problem, but
hey,
the thing
go
is,
for it.
What happens, I've noticed that on mine, drive A is floppy disk A.
Mm-hmm.
And right. Basically, my computer, I know, is set up. It's on Windows XP. It's set up so that basically when you boot up a CD for emergency startups, that it's going to go looking at in one drive first to find something to help boot it up in case you have a crash or something.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And in order for you to adjust that, somehow you have to go into the BIOS.
Right, you got to change the boot order.
So basically, he may not have any problem. Somebody may have already automatically done that, or sometime when he created a backup disk, it may have automatically been set that way,
yep,
either at the factory or if he did it himself or something.
Right. If it only does it, if it does it when you start the machine or whatever, absolutely. You're right.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, I have a question, too.
Yes.
Can I hit you on this? I had a system problem where I had to basically go through a disaster recovery. And basically what happened is my keyboard would lock up every time I hit the key on it. Mm-hmm. It would lock up the computer and it wouldn't start. So I went through disaster recovery. I got things back, and it took me 3 days to set up my whole computer over. It was a real mess. And I lost SP2 because I did not buy my computer before that came. I had bought my computer before they came up, and the OEM version of XP only had SP1. I don't have internet service because I can't afford it anymore after my 2 years. Now, I get back on, and I have this question. When I look into my hard drive now and look at the memory, it seems that after this recovery, I've lost totally the memory that used to be on my computer before I did this disaster recovery, because it keeps all your program settings, and I did that because I couldn't.
Right.
I did a clean install.
So how much memory how much space do you still have? Are you talking about your hard drive or your RAM?
My hard drive.
Okay, how much space do you have on your hard drive now?
Well, I've lost approximately the same amount of hard drive space that was on my computer for memory. But,
and it depends on what...
Before I did the disaster recovery.
Right, it depends on what kind of disaster recovery it was. Some of them will erase your hard drive and load everything from scratch. Some of them will overwrite some of your system files and get you back to almost an intermediate step where it's the original operating system, but your programs and stuff are on there, but it doesn't know they're on there because
right.
of the way the Microsoft registry works.
You're right about that. 100%.
Right, so it may be that old stuff is still lurking in there somewhere. You may also find a folder on your hard drive called Old Windows or Windows.old or something along that line. And that would be a duplicate of your Windows folder with all the old stuff in it, which you can just generally erase.
Oh, I see. I lost SP2 that I had downloaded on the internet. That's gone completely.
Right.
And I can't get it back out because I'm probably going to have to send it away. They still have an address where you can call them? Or
you can still
they
get
had
it
a form
the
on
web.
The internet. Well, yeah, you can download it from the internet, but it's not on the internet.
Well,
you
can get a friend to download it and burn it to a CD.
Right, and they used to have a form you could fill out, and they would mail you a CD. I don't know if they still do that.
But again, you have to be on the internet to do that. We got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you, 41 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 45 minutes after the hour, we're hoping the timing was better on that comeback than we thought it might have been. All right, before we get back to the phones, let me remind everybody that we are still voting for the MRI machine for the folks at Lockport Hospital. Go to winanmri.com, search for the Lockport Hospital video, watch it, and vote for it. You can do that once every single day. And if they win, they get an MRI machine for the hospital. I don't know that it gets better than that, so you should do that. That's an important thing. All right, that's all I wanted to say about that. And now we're going to go back to the phones. Our next caller is Joan from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Joan. What's your question?
Hey, I have a copyright question. Oh, only kidding.
Yeah. Thanks for calling, Joan. Next caller.
Next. No, I want to copy my own Super 8. Can I do that onto a DVD?
You can. However, The easiest way for home users to do that is to set up your Super 8 projector and project it onto a screen, and then have your digital camcorder record that projection and then bring it into the computer from there. There are specialized companies in town. I think Rowe Photographic still does it. They have a special light box that they do that with.
And it doesn't cost you much. I had a bunch of old Super 8 movies done through them, and it was not expensive.
I think they charge by the foot, which is interesting.
Well, yeah, but it wasn't terribly expensive, you know, particularly since they were old memories that there was no other way to get.
Yeah.
So,
so you can do it yourself if you have all the equipment, or you can hire a service to do that as well.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. That's a great thing to do, by the way. My wife's cousin did that for them for Christmas one year. Of course, they own a radio station, a television station down in somewhere, Kentucky, somewhere, I think it is. And so for them, it didn't really cost a whole lot of money. But they took all the old Super 8 movies that the grandfather had done and put them on a DVD, and they could watch. And the entire family, it didn't mean as much to me, that's not my family. I mean, I recognized people, it was okay.
Yeah.
But they were sitting around laughing and crying and, you know, oh my God, remember Uncle Joey and I, you know. Oh, I remember that table. We broke that table when we were playing some game. Right? Yeah, they just had the best time for hours sitting there watching this DVD. It was an unbelievably great thing to do. And particularly if you're doing that for your family for Christmas, once you've made the DVD one, you can copy it as often as you want because it's your stuff. No copyright issues. Make as many copies as you want. Hand them out to all your family for Christmas. What a beautiful idea.
Well, that's what I just did for my wife's family. We had an old VHS tape that had two Christmases just before. As a matter of fact, it was the last two Christmases that where my mother-in-law passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, they were getting older. And
right.
I was worried about it. So we got the program, and I literally played the got the VHS machine and moved it to DVD. And I split it, because the program was great, that I was able to split the two DVDs to put Christmas, the two separate Christmases. Now I can burn them to DVD
right,
and hand them out as Christmas gifts to my brother-in-law and sister-in-law.
Now they know you're going to do that, so it's not as big a deal.
No, well, it doesn't matter. They're not here.
All right.
One's in Sacramento and the other's
in
Syracuse.
And they don't listen to the archives? All right, I get it.
You have to be sometimes a little careful. I knew someone that took a box of 8mm that, like, a great uncle passed away, and they found cleaning out his stuff. And
this is not going to end well, this story.
No, but
it's a Steve story, so it's not going
to
end well.
They took it to get converted, and in the middle of the box of family home movies was an old stag movie he had, and they put it on the DVD with everything else.
Very nice.
Why do we know it was going to go that way?
It's a Steve story. It's going to end either.
Those memories need to be preserved as well.
We're going to take a quick break while we beat both of those guys to a bloody pulp. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, maybe Steve Ray, maybe Chris Wright, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you, 49 minutes after the hour, sound bites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 54 minutes after the hour, you're listening to sound bites. Our next caller is Stan from Wayland, New York. Welcome, Stan. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, first, I got Windows XP. A while back, I downloaded a wallpaper photo off of a website. I had it on there about a month or so. And then I did a normal reboot one day, and the computer started back up. The photo's gone, and I got just a normal gray background. And I go to control panel, display, and I can't change anything. All locked up.
First question I have to ask is, was this wallpaper just a picture, or was it a program that installed a wallpaper and it was one of those 30-day free trial things and you were supposed to pay for it?
I really don't know. It was it was from the Harley Davidson site. It was a motorcycle.
Well, that doesn't
Harley,
necessarily mean anything.
Well, Harley, usually those.
Well, but it doesn't matter what's usually. It was whatever site he went to. How did they handle that? So the question is, did they just let him download a picture that became his background, or was it one of those programs where if you don't buy it in 30 days, it locks you out?
Well, if you went to the Harley website, I know you can download it because I've got one myself.
No, I understand that, but was it the Harley website or just a Harley website?
No, it was the Harley website.
then it shouldn't have been a problem.
Yeah, you should be able to go back and grab it.
Now,
I tried, and I can't even change anything now. I can't put a Windows XP up there or nothing.
Then what you might want to do is boot up in safe mode.
Okay.
Go to accessories, system tools, and you said this just happened how long ago?
Oh, just a couple weeks ago. I just did a normal reboot.
Try going back to that date or a day before and restore back to that point in time.
Okay.
Pick a date.
Even,
you know, if
in
it was
safe mode, try to change the wallpaper and see what happens.
See if I can do it in safe mode first and then try
to try that.
Restore.
Now, are you the administrator user?
Yes.
Yeah, if not, try going back to that point in time.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. All right. Our next caller, Alan from Mount Morris. Welcome, Alan. What's your question?
I put a Nero, the newest Nero version on my computer, and I'm running Vista, and it didn't load right, and it won't let me delete it off my computer.
Yeah. You might have to go to the Nero site because there's been a number of issues. I think they've got a removal tool.
Yeah, you can't really run the uninstaller until you get the install working.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Nero definitely has a problem with Vista. Has had for a long time. They keep saying it's fixed and it's not.
I had Nero 6 and that ran perfectly.
Yep.
I tried to load Nero 7 and it didn't work.
Did you try reloading 6?
Yes, and it won't let me because it says there's a newer version on there.
And it's not showing up in the add remove program.
It is, but it won't let me do it.
If you try to rerun the Nero 7 installer, is there an uninstall option there?
Yep.
And that doesn't work?
That doesn't work. It comes up with Windows, Explorer, ID process.
Yeah, here's what you do. You go to Nero, click on support.
Okay.
Click on downloads.
Okay.
Click on under tools and utilities, you'll see clean tools.
Okay.
And there's a clean tool for Nero 8, for Nero 7, for Nero 6. Apparently, this has been a problem all the way back to every version of Nero ever.
Well, it's a common problem in any program that they're often hard to uninstall.
Right, so there is a complete uninstaller that will remove the thing in its entirety from your system.
Okay.
And that's the thing you're going to have to use.
All right.
All right?
All right, thanks.
That's the whole problem. I mean, there's a number of issues with a lot of programs. Nero just happens to be one. QuickBooks doesn't like Vista. And, I mean, the list. iTunes doesn't like Vista.
The newest version kind of is sort of okay.
Yeah, but, I mean, some of the folks using older stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and they've gone and gotten the update because they bought the machine, say, with Windows XP, and then all of a sudden they got the free, you know, or the XP that they were entitled to, release. They went and installed it and all that stuff.
Right.
Yeah, the really huge annoying problem is it's been a year since Vista went Golden Master and companies still haven't been able to get Vista compatibility.
Right. We don't know what that's going to be. So vote in the poll because that's one of our choices, of course, is Vista compatibility, application compatibility. Right now, XP is leading the pack. Please join us next week. We are done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, who ably, once again, brought all his equipment in and is going to do the...
More comes every week.
More, yeah, right. It's great. God bless him for volunteering all his time and talent to do this. Rob Linton, who has plenty of time and not enough talent and brings it all here every week. He's not listening, so I can say anything I want. I'm Nick Francesco. Join us next week. I want to thank everybody who called in. Apologize to everybody to whom we did not get. At 59 minutes after the hour, we're Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.